fighting for America.
As long as they kill us and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they're going to keep killing us. But when we die and they die, we'll tear this goddamn country up.
Fighting for Idaho.
The lessons are really basic. Don't rob a convenience store. Don't fight a policeman when he stops you and try to take his gun. And when he yells at you to stop with his gun drawn, just stop.
Fighting for you.
Don't close your eyes. Focus, focus, focus.
Boise's Mr. Right.
You're the best, man.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning here, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Live local talk about the issues that impact you. We've been talking back and forth concerning the Ferguson issue. We've also been talking about the issue involving the Middleton Elementary School, where you had the young person bring a gun to school and many people going back and forth, which is the nature of this unique, compelling format where people express their opinions. And they do so in the anonymity of the airwaves, which is remarkably honest, an honest expression of the views of the day. And, you know, that's what talk radio is about. We are waiting for someone from the Middleton School District. A young lady called in, I believe. She wants to get her thoughts on, and we will do that. You know, in reality, though, I think the officials are certainly in a no-win situation when you take a look at this. Did they overreact? What would have happened if it had been a real gun? It's kind of music to my ears to hear the opinions going back and forth here. And this is the magic of local radio, and you're not going to get that with national folks. They do a great job, but you're not going to get those issues. You're not. So let's go to Robin Gilbert, joining us from the Middleton School District with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
So we've been yapping about this story all morning long. And
yes, you have.
Okay. And you would like to get your, not your opinion, but some issues that you thought that haven't been brought to light, ma'am.
Mostly what I wanted to do was kind of give you facts, and because obviously the conversation is about overreaction or underreaction or guns or toy guns and that whole bet. So I just wanted to give a clearer picture of what actually happened yesterday.
Now, I don't know if we like facts. That's going to probably deflate the story, but please go ahead.
I understand that. And it just doesn't make good talk radio sometimes.
Oh, my. Well, don't tell anybody, but please go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. When the initial report came in yesterday, it was reported that there was a gun and that it belonged to a middle school, that it was with a middle school student. They were not able to identify who the student was. So we were reacting based on a student, a report on the bus, and that it was at the middle school. And that's when we went into protecting the students of our school system. And so we went into a soft lockdown while an investigation went on. So when you're talking about 13 or 18 police officers that show up, it's not 13 or 18 police officers going to an elementary school to take a toy gun out of a kid's backpack. So,
well, what was the mood like?
Calm. You know, it was serious as far as the administration was going. We went through the practices that we have in place. Did an investigation, and in doing so, in the two buildings that were in a soft lockdown, were able to identify some students who could tell us that it actually belonged to an elementary school student and that it was most likely a toy gun.
Now, are there rules against bringing toy guns to school?
Yes, there are. And that's state. That's a zero tolerance policy. I also heard somebody say earlier that, you know, that should be in student handbooks and published. It is. It is in all our student handbooks. It has been for years. It's posted in most of the buildings. It's taught to all the children. You know, we can't have weapons because you really, a lot of times, you can't tell the difference.
Well, and this is a state law, if you will, as far as the gun issue?
I was looking it up in Idaho code, and I I couldn't quote it for you, so I'm trying. I couldn't tell you the level of the law.
Well, no worries. So
whether it's state or federal.
Now, Robin, what else would you like to say to the people listening and commenting on this story, ma'am?
You know, Middleton School District does, and as I'm sure most of the districts and all the districts in the state of Idaho are doing and responding to the best of their ability for the safety of children without overreacting. We had parents last night, you know, want to know why the elementary school wasn't in lockdown when that's where the toy gun was. But, in fact, when we knew that it was a toy gun and it was a second grade student and which students to pull aside, then you don't have to disrupt the educational environment for everybody. So it's a matter of responding appropriately to the information that you have and being as proactive. We have a number of situations, things in place to help keep parents informed. Through our Facebook page, we can post things. We've got a Sky Alert. We've got an instant messenger, and all of those things, we try to send out information to keep parents informed of what's actually going on.
Robin, what has been the feedback from parents?
A little bit of both. You know, you have just kind of like your talk radio there, some that don't think we did enough and some that think you did too much. We are making quick judgment calls for the protection of thousands of students and following protocol as we can.
Anything else, Robin, you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. We just appreciate the people that trust their kids to us, and we want to honor them and do the best we can in educating them and keeping them safe. Children are our prized possession. They're not, you know, it's not just a saying that they are our future. We love our kids as much as we love all the Middleton students that are here, and we want to do our best to serve the people that we're working for.
Now, are you in cahoots with the United Nations?
No, they haven't even invited me to their meetings.
Well, we'll work on that.
Mm-hmm. And I am a... Oh, that was one of the other things that was, you know, somebody else mentioned about guns in schools and teachers should carry them.
Look, I'm glad that we provided some listening experience for you this morning.
Oh, I listen quite frequently.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, I'm a gun-carrying... Got my permission, you know, to carry guns and concealed weapons personally because I believe in them and I like them. I understand all of those pieces, but I don't carry them on school grounds. And that is by state law, but local school boards can approve those if they so choose. But I also don't want the risk factor of what happens to that either. As you can see with what's going on across our nation, if you choose to carry a weapon, you've got some accountability for it that's deeper than anybody else's.
You're right. Well, we thank you for listening and for calling in.
You're welcome.
Have a good day, Robin.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Robin Gilbert joining us from the Middleton School District, clarifying some of the folks calling in, but we appreciate her listening and everybody across the Treasure Valley. If you're just waking up, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, reacting to the gun, the toy gun at Middleton Elementary. You have the young person who was suspended for that, taking your thoughts on it at 580-5436. Jim and Eagle has been calling, and Jim, we appreciate your patience. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks, Robin, for your call. That was great to finally clear the air a little bit on that. One of the things I wanted to say was, you know, the kid has been made mad here, not the gun, because he's the one who made the mistake, and he's the one who's going to catch the devil for doing that. And, you know, the gun's still a neutral item, but the kid's going to be bad now.
Well, and he's got the, or he or she has got the stigma of, you know, doing this. But, no, here's the broader question. And obviously we want the schools to be safe, but are toy guns something that you should bring to school?
Probably not.
Hmm.
But you don't, you know, go berserk because he did either.
Right.
And that's what happened until, you know, somebody figured out what was going on. Apparently.
Well, do you agree with the suspension?
No. Not at all. I think that's the error.
Hmm.
That's the thing that will stick with the child.
Being suspended.
Yep.
All right. Jim, anything else?
That'll do.
All right. Thank you. You know, interesting points from our first two folks here this morning at 580 KIDO. And, you know, we're talking about Michael Brown here. Rules are rules. You have Rich Lowry on Meet the Press basically saying that if the police officers tell you to do something, you do it.
With, when you look at whites, whites that live in urban communities are much, believe that we have a, still have a race problem in this country. Whites that live in more rural, basically whiter communities, they don't see the race issue. Do you think that's divide, that maybe rural whites don't see this issue the way folks that live in urban America?
Perhaps, but you look at Ferguson specifically, this is an area where the governmental structures haven't caught up to the demographic change over the last two decades or so, and that's something you take care of simply by organizing and voting. But what I really object to is you can discuss all these problems, but let's not pretend that this particular incident was something it wasn't. If you look at the most credible evidence, the lessons are really basic. Don't rob a convenience store. Don't fight a policeman when he stops you and try to take his gun. And when he yells at you to stop with his gun drawn,
whoa,
just stop.
Whoa. And I don't want to relitigate those facts.
No,
there you have it. Following direction. So here we are, critical of Michael Brown, the deceased. By the way, 6'4", 294 or something like that. Mr. Brown was, I think Officer Wilson, average height, slight build, regardless. So we are on Mr. Brown for not paying attention, not listening to direction. And here we have this case in Middleton at 580-5436 where a toy gun's brought to school. And look, on one hand, elementary kids will be elementary kids. And parents can't regulate everything. I mean, how many of us remember or have seen our kids or our grandkids sneak something in and go, gosh, they're smart. Suspending the kid for bringing a toy gun to school. Yes, it's very easy for me on talk radio to say I disagree with it. But I suppose if you look behind it, the idea of zero tolerance. So that's what it comes to. Do you agree with the policy that toy guns should not be brought to school? Now, some people are going to say, Kevin, these are little kids. Unfortunately, even in Idaho, we've had stories where you've had kids as young as 3 or 4 playing with guns, shooting their siblings, shooting their brother, shooting their sister. Inadvertently, what was it, you know, that little baby that's had to be taken out of state because of the flare gun? And then we had the big story on what is a flare gun and don't use the flare gun. I think we all know what a flare gun is. And how it can hurt you if you shoot someone in the head with it, never mind if it's a little kid. So if you're just tuning in at 580-5436, we have the situation where you have the Middleton School District. They thought they had a real gun, as Robin Gilbert told us. The real gun in a school, in an elementary school, 18 officers from the Canyon County Sheriff's Office brought in, 2 schools on lockdown. Toy gun was found. The kid suspended. The fallout, some people have said, overreaction. Other people have said, right on. But to continue this conversation, there's a rule in the handbook, as we just found out. Been there for years. And if you violate rules, you have consequences. Right? Or is it a matter of fact of, why not have guns in schools? We still have toy guns in schools. We still have the Second Amendment.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
Great local issue, unless you're the parent of the kid that got suspended in elementary school. Never mind the stigma this young man is going to have for bringing a toy gun to school. Did the authorities in Middleton overreact? 580-5436. We go to Patriot Ray. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, I think that we're overreacting in a way too many times anymore. I mean, a kid chews a piece of bread that looked like a gun. You get a kid that points a finger and says, bang, bang, and they're bad, and they get suspended. And now you got a kid with a toy gun. Okay, they found the gun. They found what was going on. You tell the kid not to bring the gun back. You tell him not to do this. This is wrong. And you make a rule in the school that you don't bring any toy guns or any kind of that looks like a gun. But to indoctrinate our kids where they have a fear about everything is wrong. It's just totally wrong. We're making a society And that's what Eric Holder and the president really want. And now we've got the UN stepping in on Ferguson saying that we need to get rid of guns. America needs to be better and safer and get rid of the guns. I mean, this is ridiculous. UN, get out of our business. The United States, get out of the UN. Quit supporting them. They don't support us. So, yeah, have a great day, Kevin.
Patriot Ray, God bless you. Thank you for the call. We go to Tyler in Star, Idaho. Good morning, Tyler.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Not bad. And you?
Doing great. Thank you. You know, I do believe there was or there is an overreaction, but it didn't really take place in the events that happened yesterday. I think it was certainly the right decision of the kid to report the fact that he thought he saw a gun. I think it was the right decision by the administrative staff to report it to the police and the police to take it to the utmost, you know, to treat it as a dangerous situation. You know, we're really fortunate that that wasn't an actual handgun. If it were and they did not react, we would be, you know, calling for heads of the entire school district, of the police force. We would be overreacting in an entirely different way. Now, we're fortunate that it was a toy gun, and the school held the kid accountable, because the kids do know that they shouldn't bring a toy gun to school. You know, I have a first grader, and I asked him last night, would you ever take a toy gun to school? And he said, no, absolutely not. I said, well, why not? He said, well, it's school. Guns don't belong in school. I'm pro-gun. I hunt. I take my kids hunting. I teach them gun safety. I teach them gun responsibility. And that's just simple. There's no place for weapons in school, even if it's a fake weapon.
So what about the suspension of the kid?
I agree. I'm sure the kid knew that that wasn't wrong. He wouldn't have been hiding it in his backpack. He wouldn't have showed a buddy to kind of show that he brought it. And he's being held accountable, and the school's got to take it seriously. You know, the overreaction is in all the coverage of it. The overreaction is trying to politicize this and turn it into an anti-gun battle, or trying to turn it into, you know, United Nations, or relating it back to Ferguson. I mean, this is a toy gun issue in Middleton, Idaho, that was dealt with appropriately. And the only way the kid's going to get a stigma for being suspended is because of all the continued coverage of it. Otherwise, it'd be a non-issue.
Tyler, thank you for the call.
You bet.
All right. To the pride of Raleigh, North Carolina, via Eagle, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to back up to a point where I think they should have used much less authoritarian approach. I have to put the responsibility for this overreaction on the administration and secondarily on the police, because all they should have really needed to do was have the person who the small child told he saw a gun ask enough details to ascertain the size and potential classroom location of the kid that had the gun or the toy gun, and go to each class. The principal then would be in charge and go to each class where this kid could be, and ask the teacher to step outside and then have her go back inside and say, did anyone need to know something? No real problem. Did anybody happen to bring a toy gun to school today? And if the kid's hand doesn't go up, you say, just raise your hand, no problem. And if he did, you say, well, will you step outside with me for a moment? Don't bring your bags or anything. Just come on. And you bring him outside, and then you find out and where the gun is, and it's over with. That you do that one room at a time. That's all that needed to be done. Nobody was out of control until the unprepared administration took extremely excessive anti-constitutional methods to push this, to bringing in a bunch of troops who were police. It's all totally ridiculous. And this, what I just described would be the way it would have been handled 30 years and farther back when I was in school in the 50s and the grammar grades.
I'm with you, but what would have happened if it was a real gun, Jerry? Do you believe at 580KIDO that if it's a real gun, that's how the police should have responded?
Oh, the other point is, if nobody acknowledges having a toy gun at that point, the principal should already have a tentative response to go to the next level, but not even close to the level that they went to, because it needed to be handled administratively and with the security person or the person, policeman, who's assigned to that area, and target where they think the gun is and not just come in right with an 18. That was probably enough to cover almost every class in half the class in the school.
Jerry, great point. Thank you for the call to TPB with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
Living the dream.
Sounds like you're shooting the place up down there.
Ah, yuck, 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 yuck.
You know, as Greg Pruitt said, you know, he really hit the nail on the head earlier. It's an overreaction by the police and a complete overreaction by the school. You know, if there's a zero tolerance policy and a required suspension, it should be made public and put in the handbook. You know, if it's not, then we don't really need to suspend these kids. If everybody knew that there was such a rule, there would be a huge public outcry. You know, Idahoans are used to seeing guns and hunting with them. It's been part of our heritage. We should teach the kids responsibility with firearms and make sure we teach them where it is and where it isn't appropriate to take a gun. But I think you and I can remember bringing guns to school for show and tell. You know, there is no reason to punish a child in the way they did for doing what he did. And I think that they have to use a little bit of restraint. What they're doing, suspending a kid, is to reinforce the liberal agenda that guns are bad. And this is an easy way for them to do it with a severe punishment so all the other kids can see what happens if you bring a gun to school. Actually, I think maybe then if we take a good hard look at it, the only place we've had any mass killings have been in gun-free zones. And I still would love to see the teachers have enhanced permits and be able to carry guns on school grounds for the protection of the kids if we don't have armed guards there. You know, we need to change some school policies. This kind of brings it right to the forefront. It gives them an opportunity to do that. Otherwise, the next thing we'll be doing is issuing toy gun permits for the kids so they can carry them.
TPB, thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Dave Burnett with us. And Dave, another day of rain.
Yep, kind of drizzly sort of day out there this morning.
Drizzly, drizzly, drizzly. Better than, how should we put this, better than snow, I suppose.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, snow and ice. Ooh, keep that in the mountains.
Keep it in the mountains.
Keep it in the mountains where it belongs.
I
know that's where it belongs. We need it for the farmers.
We need it for the farmers, yes, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Keep growing those beets. Keep the price of sugar down.
Yes, keep the price of sugars down and everything. So,
You've been out to the Amalgamated Sugar Factory out there taking a tour?
I haven't taken a tour. I've passed it many, many times.
You need to take a tour of that place.
You know, I thought about that. I thought about, when we were doing Getting Idaho Back to Work. Mm-hmm. We still do that occasionally. But as far as going to businesses, I always thought that would be one of the great places to go to and just shoot a video, because life is a video.
Mm-hmm.
And really get involved in that. And the cheese factory as well.
Yep, you could go, which of course used to be open to the public, but closed down now since the French are making very secret cheese out there.
Secret cheese.
Yes, it's secret cheese. Or, you know,
does Tom Dale know about this secret cheese?
Tom Dale, what has he got to do with it?
Well, you know, he was always proud of that when he was the mayor. Now he's going to be the soon-to-be Canyon County Commissioner. I mean, yeah. He runs that joint.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll open it back up. They used to have, back when J.R. Simplot owned it, I can't remember what it was called now. Don't forget the squeaky cheese curds. That was their slogan.
So really, it was J.R. that owned, he had a cheese factory?
Yeah. Who's J.R. Simplot's place?
You know what I'd like to see?
What's that?
There was a story, and I think it was Brian Williams or maybe Tom Brokaw. And I was living, gosh knows, somewhere, sometime. And it was about this, pardon my French, folks, cantankerous curmudgeon that was incredibly successful.
So a show kind of like you.
Well, no, this guy was successful. It was a profile of JR.
Oh, gotcha.
And it was talking about how he lived in Idaho. Mm-hmm. He came up with the French fry thing. He's Mr. Potato. He's... has all this wealth, but he drives around in a pickup, and he's just quite the character.
He was.
And I just really wish that I could find that profile of him online. And I've looked for it, and I've looked for it, and I believe it was NBC that did it. And I want to believe it was Brian Williams that that did that piece on him.
J.R. Simplot was a fascinating man. I mean, he really was, because Swiss Village Cheese, by the way, thank you, Ray, was the name of the place, which was J.R.'s place. But he was a fascinating man in that he'd stop and talk to anybody.
I heard he was mean.
No, he wasn't mean. He was just a farmer. J.R.
I heard he was mean to some people.
Oh, he was a tough businessman. I mean, and I will say this openly, my in-laws were potato farmers back in the day, years and years ago, down in southern Idaho. And he was a tough negotiator. He was a tough businessman. Wouldn't pay them what they thought they deserved for the potatoes, and back and forth. And a lot of farmers had issues with JR because he didn't pay what he thought they would, you know, back and forth. He was a tough negotiator, but he'd sit and talk to anybody. But, yeah, especially towards his later years, he was kind of more of a, just like any old farmer would be. But he'd talk to anybody. He'd always fly coach. You know, you'd be walking through when you get on an air. I always like to do that. You get on the airplane, you look at the first class. It's like, oh, yeah, look. Oh, look, there's, oh, okay.
Well, wait a minute. You fly private jets.
Sometimes. But I'm not paying for that. That's people paying for my services.
I'm just saying, though. Yeah. I'd like full disclosure here.
Okay. Sometimes.
I've never flown on a private jet. I've flown first class like once in my life.
That's because outside of this place, I'm thought of differently than inside this place.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Huh?
Now, what do you mean by that?
I'm not going to get into that. So you go through the first class section.
What a great tease that was. You're just going to leave us hanging.
Well, check the website. And then you get back and further in the plane, and there's J.R. Simplot sitting there. Guy is a multimillionaire sitting in, you know, bringing his own peanuts onto the plane. That's just the way he was. He was an Idaho farmer.
Yeah, flying's a ripoff these days, though.
Oh, yeah.
Flying anywhere is a ripoff, and I always like the bathroom police. You know, because if you sit close to the first class section, which really, what's the first class? They put a curtain in there, and you get a wet towel. And all of a sudden, you can't use that one. You have to go all the way to the back of the plane. I'm sorry you can't use this one. My bowels tell me I have to go, madam.
I don't
want to
hear that.
Sorry, this is exclusive to first class. And then there's always somebody that breaks the rules. So you go in there and you try it, and then I'm the one that always gets caught.
Hmm.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And this is about negotiation. So
I'm not good at that.
Who is, really? Who is? And really, it can relate to anybody here at 580KIDO. But you've got this situation where you got this coach, Jim McElwain from Colorado State, that has done an incredible job there. Now he's got this new job offer, allegedly, from a big school in the South Florida. And they're ready to hire him because he's a really good coach. And to get him, they're going to have to pay $7.5 million. Now, look, Colorado State's a good school and all that, but why in the world would McElwain sign a deal with such a huge buyout if, in fact, he had planned to go to brighter and greener pastures? So it might hold up his big deal, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't even think Nick Saban's buyout is that much.
You know, I don't know. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's put this in rate. Let's say Kevin Miller's got a big deal, million-dollar contract here at KIDO.
All right.
It, with a big deal, million-dollar buyout. And let's say WXXX Radio wants to hire you.
Well, let's say it's WRKO in Boston. Let's say it's WTN in Nashville.
Let's say it's XLTA in Tijuana. It wants to buy out your deal.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other stations.
Hang on. You just keep thinking, because I'm painting a picture here. The sure. Paint is drying. Okay. Who's paying for that buyout? It's not coming out of your pocket. It's your future employer. So McElwain doesn't care what his buyout is. It would be Florida that would be paying the bill on that.
Right. So Florida doesn't want to pay $7 million.
Yeah, but then they go negotiate with Colorado and they'd come up with a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
So for the coach himself, it's like, yeah, we'll sign that deal. Because he doesn't care. Because if an offer comes that he wants to take, then whoever is hiring him will pay the price.
Right.
And he knows that. He knows that's not coming out of his, you know, rice and beans money, beans and rice.
Right, but Florida has to pay their coach that they just fired $8 million,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to spend $15 million and have to pay McElwain probably at least $3 million.
Chump change. They say they don't. They've got the money. They've got the money. So I'm just saying, you know, for the coach to sign a deal, because your question was, why, if you're going to stay somewhere as a coach, would you sign that deal? Because he doesn't care. He's not paying the freight if he goes anyway.
Right.
It's the future boss who will pay the freight. So, you know, I'll sign a deal. If Kevin Godwin wants to come in and sign me to a big deal and with a big buyout, sure, I'll sign it, because if I wind up going to WXXX, they're going to pay the freight for me to get out anyway.
Well, it, you know, and I've had people do this, not to any near this level or anything like that, but...
Yeah.
You know, it comes down to where you want to be and what you want to do. But if you're getting $3 million a year, that's a lot of comfort.
Well, yeah, it is. But again,
but why would McElwain allow himself to do that? Why would McElwain allow himself to be limited as far as getting out? I mean, $7.5 million, that's got to be one of the, I think Bobby Petrino has something like that.
And maybe it comes in. Again, we're dealing with numbers that I can't even fathom. I mean, really. Well, $3-4 million, what's the difference? And maybe it's a case of, you know what, I want to do this gig and not really thinking of a year or two down the road.
Right.
You know, and your agents do all the dealing.
Like your agent.
Yeah. It's not like McElwain's in there going, okay, now hang on here. It says here in this clause that, no, he's not doing that. His agent just goes, we got the deal, it's a good one, sign it. Okay. That, you know, for most of these guys, that's what happens. Okay, I'll sign it. Where's my whistle? Do I start coaching
now? Yeah, but
now?
McElwain, I mean, he came from Alabama. He's not, this isn't his first, he's not even like, well, I mean, Lane Kiffin again, he was, you know, he had many deals. He wasn't like, this wasn't his first bell of the ball, his first head coaching job, but still. Just interesting how all that stuff can play out, how things can change.
Well, you know, some of these guys, not all of them, some are just coaches with whistles and big salaries. Some of them are businessmen, like J.R. Simplot. They're tough to negotiate with.
Right.
We've come full circle now. McElwain back to J.R. You know, you're a tough businessman and tough to negotiate. Others of them, they're just jocks with a whistle and a big contract.
Right.
So I guess it depends on the person, who it is. And some of the people, you know what? Some people, and I truly believe, maybe it doesn't. I was going to say, some of the people are just happy. You know what? I love coaching. I'm in a good position. I'm just going to stay here. I'm good with it. We thought that with Coach Pete for a long time, but he reached that point where I need something new.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who was stuck for a long time. Bronco, what's his name down to BYU? He's been there forever.
Nagurski. Mendenhall.
Yeah, that's the one. He's been there forever.
What is it? Bronco Mendenhall, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anyone else who's been somewhere for 20 years.
As a coach?
Yeah.
Trying to think.
Not many. Mendenhall has to be one of the longest running, don't you think?
Yeah, but you really wonder who's in the market for him.
Well, you reach a point where you say no long enough, nobody asks anymore.
Right.
And I think that's where Pete was. He got to the point where, they're going to stop asking pretty soon.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you take a look at Pete. I think he regretted not going to Stanford.
I have no idea.
I think that he thought that was a missed opportunity. And he wanted to stay in the Northwest. Culturally, he didn't fit Southern Cal. He didn't fit Texas. He wouldn't fit Florida. Culturally, I think it has a lot to do with it.
I think so. I think that's a shrewd business personal look. Some guys, I don't care. I'll go from West Coast down to the South.
Well, but Urban Meyer has done a fairly good job. He went from Bowling Green to Utah to Florida to now Ohio State, but not everybody's Urban Meyer.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, let me hit you with this.
Quickly.
What do you mean quickly?
We're just about out of time.
We're too busy yapping about you and your big deals and all that stuff.
I didn't talk about that at all. I don't like talking about that.
You don't?
No.
All right. Well, so let me hit you with this. How many people are going to show up for this Mountain West Championship game?
About 25,000.
Not even sold out?
Oh, no, it won't sell out.
What's that about?
I can sit at home and watch it on CBS. That's what that's all about.
Mm.
It's 8:15 at night. It's after the SEC game.
The SEC bleep.
Whatever it is, they do. So yeah, no, they'll get about 20, you know, a week's worth of sales. Yeah, it's pretty good. They had a real high return rate on their season ticket holders. Walk up would be okay. 25, maybe 28,000. That's what I'm thinking.
I see.
Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558 K Millie in the morning, 580 KIDO. Hey, don't forget, we still have the auction going on at 580KIDO.com. Great deals from Seize the Deal. We'll tell you about that in a minute. First, let's get you to work safely and on. If you're looking for a dream kitchen refinishing, how about a mattress from Bargain Mattress Outlet? Dog boarding at All Paws Stay and Play. Pool table from Snake River Pool and Spa. What you do is you go to 580KIDO.com. That's 580KIDO.com. Click on the Seize the Deal online auctions. Make some bids. Remember, the bidding closes tonight at 7 Mountain Time. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend David Ripley. Great event coming up Friday. We'd love to see you. Details next. Stay tuned.